Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God, which shall be the basis of our meditation, the Holy Spirit has caused to be written in the first book of Kings, the third chapter, as it was read a moment ago, but especially these words, "And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people who cannot be numbered or counted for multitude. So give thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, to discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of thine?" In Christ Jesus, dear Christian friends, the torch had passed to a new generation as Solomon followed his father David as king. And Solomon, even before this dream, in which he responds to God's request by asking for wisdom, was wise enough to know that he wasn't wise enough. And so he asks God for an understanding heart to judge God's people, to discern between good and evil, recognizing that no one is able to judge this great people. Now, we could spend a lot of time this morning speaking of God's answer and what use Solomon made or didn't make of the great gifts God gave him. I'm not going to do that this morning. Instead, I want to focus on these two little verses that I just read. And I believe I do this text no great injustice to suggest that while it speaks of the political or governmental realm, there is great application that can be carried over to those who would be pastors in Christ's church. Thy servant is in the midst of thy people which thou hast chosen. The other night, I went to hear the Fort Wayne Philharmonic with my wife, and I must say I was quite impressed with the quality of the orchestra. But what was particularly striking was the director. I whispered to my wife after I had watched him for a time that he really has a flair for the dramatic. It was obvious that he was very much into the music, that he was truly enjoying himself, and that he was very much in control of the orchestra. Now, I've never met the man and would hardly presume to judge him. But the thought strikes me generally that it would be very easy to have the kind of power a director exercises go to his head. After all, every little gesture, every nuance of tone and phrasing turns on his direction. And that can give one a rather exalted feeling. Solomon recognizes that he is a servant and that it is God who made him king. He has not achieved such status on his own merit, but by the grace of God who has placed him in such a position. So also the pastor. The pastor is dressed in special garments. He commands the attention of the whole congregation when he preaches. And if he has a PA system that really magnifies the voice and a building with great acoustics that echoes loudly the response of the congregation, it is easy to get that same heady feeling of authority and leadership. We, like Solomon, are servants, not prima donnas, not men of high position who deserve the adulation of the masses, but servants of the all-high and holy God, who alone deserves our adoration and thanksgiving for mercy beyond our deserving. Perhaps that's part of the reason God has chosen such simple elements as water and bread and wine to convey precious treasures to his people, so that we not lose sight of the humility that befits servants who simply dispense the gifts of God. Thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen. Solomon, of course, speaks of the Israelites, God's favored people. But wherever we are called to serve, these too are God's people whom he has chosen, and it's important for us to remember them. Some years ago, I participated in the ordination of a young man whom I had known for several years, whom I'll call Jim. After the service and the reception that followed, we had the occasion to talk for just a few minutes more. And as we parted, I said to him, "Jim, you're going to be installed in a couple more weeks as pastor of a congregation. The one simple thought I'd like to leave with you this evening is love your people." He promised he would do that. A few years later, I happened to see him at a conference and asked how things were going. He was rather discouraged and indicated that things weren't going too well. Seems as though some of his members were sinners. They didn't measure up to his expectation. And sometimes even some of their sin was directed at him. After he vented for a time, I asked him if he recalled our conversation the night of his ordination. And he said he didn't. I recounted it for him and then told him, "Jim, I'll tell you the same thing now that I did then. Go back and love your people." The people whom God calls us to serve aren't perfect. They're sinners, clay vessels just like us. And some of them can be especially trying. But as Solomon acknowledged about Israel, so for us, these are God's people whom he has chosen. Israel was not Solomon's nation, but God's nation. And the congregations we serve are not our congregations, but Christ's. It is Christ's church. He is the head. We simply serve his people with word and sacrament, serve the people that he has called and gathered together. Finally, Solomon prays, "So give thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, to discern between good and evil." Solomon didn't ask God for an understanding heart to elevate himself, but rather for the sake of God's people. So also for the pastor. The imprecatory psalms are prayed against the enemies of God, not against those imperfect souls within the church who may need a godly rebuke, but also patient exhortation and instruction in righteousness. Our ministry is for the sake of the people. God sends us to people who say to us, "Sir, we would see Jesus," for they know, as do we, that apart from Jesus, we perish. All of us are in that state together. Our need is one, the forgiveness of our sins by the one who shed his blood that we may have life. The forgiveness that gives us the hope of the resurrection even as our Savior was gloriously raised from the dead. His ministry is normative for our own, certainly rebuking sin where sinners are unrepentant, but patiently offering his mercy and hope to those who seek God. Yes, Lord, give us understanding hearts, hearts that recognize our own sins and failings, and hearts that can understand the failings as well as the needs of your people, that we may offer them the bread of life and recognize in them the people you have chosen for your eternal inheritance. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.